Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers, hosted by Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Welcome to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. I'm Tim Tarantine, happy to be here with my co-host, Amanda Harrison, and we've had a conversation with one of the stars of the industry. Amanda, tell us all about your conversation today.
Hey guys, thanks Tim. Yeah, this week I spoke with John Grueling. He is the president and chief executive officer for the Will County Center for Economic Development in the state of Illinois. So John's been in this position for over 14 years, and he's got a great reputation nationally as an economic development professional. Not only has he worked in the state of Illinois, he's also spent time in Colorado and North Carolina. The cool thing about John that you'll hear in this conversation is that when he started out, he actually wanted to be a rock musician. So you're going to hear his story of from rock musician to economic developer, which is a road very few have traveled in
this
industry.
Did you get him to play in the interview?
He did not play. No, we should have had him like sing a couple of notes.
That's right.
Get a vibe for his style. But I think you're going to really enjoy this conversation that I had with John. So take a listen.
Hi, John. Thanks so much for joining us today on From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. Welcome to the podcast and congratulations on this recognition.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It's quite an honor, quite frankly.
Well, we're excited to get to know you a little bit and hear about your experience in this field of economic development. But before we do that, what's one thing everyone should know about you?
One thing everybody should know about me. I would say that is, believe it or not, I started out my career as a rock musician.
Wow.
And that was going to be my discipline. And fortunately or unfortunately, it did not pan out, but I had the opportunity to play with some well-known people like Ted Nugent and Bob Seger, actually, in a band I was in. So, yeah, that was fun, but it ultimately didn't make the house payment.
That is incredible. From rock music to economic development.
So there you go.
Tell us, how did you get involved in economic development then?
Well, I started out, you know, thinking that I wanted to save the world, so to speak. I had an undergraduate degree in philosophy, and I realized that putting out a shingle that said philosopher wasn't going to bring a lot of clients by. So I went on to get a graduate degree in city planning, and one of the mayors I worked for in my early part of my career ran on the jobs ticket, and I was a city planner at the time, and he got elected. He felt he had a mandate, and he called his first staff meeting, looked around the room, and looked at the police chief and the public works director, and looked at me and says, well, you're the closest thing I have to an economic developer, so that's your new job.
And the rest was history, right?
So to speak, yeah. But I had studied economic geography in my planning degree, so I was pretty well suited for it.
Excellent. Well, you talked about studying philosophy, so I'm wondering if you have any great leadership lessons that you've learned throughout your career that you could share with us today.
You know, it's interesting. I do. It's funny how your elders get smarter as you get older. And there were some things early on that I learned from probably one of my best teachers, my father, who was a businessman, a banker. And two things that I learned from him is having some humility and respect, and then secondly, having a lot of patience. And I would say that didn't happen so easily the first part of my career, but as I've grown in the jobs I've had and the career I've chosen, you need to have a lot of respect for people, and they will give that back to you. And showing humility with people, whether you think they're smart or stupid or on the ball or not, I think that goes a long way in building credibility and relationships.
Excellent. So can you tell us about maybe one project that you are the most proud of when you think about your career in economic development?
Now, that's a tough one because I've been honored and privileged to work with a lot of great companies and a lot of great communities. But one in particular that I'm especially proud of was working with DirecTV. DirecTV in the early 1990s was just launching their first satellites, and high-definition TV was not known among the consumer base at that time. But they were looking for a location to build their primary and secondary satellite uplink facilities. And I was working in Douglas County, Colorado at the time. We had been identified as a secondary uplink site. And so we went to El Segundo, their headquarters, and made our pitch. And quite frankly, we must have impressed them because after about an hour and a half, they brought us back into the room and they said, you know, your sales job was good enough to convince us that our primary satellite uplink facility should be in Colorado, not out here in California. So it was more than we expected, but quite frankly, we had put a lot of work into that presentation. So it was a big win for the community and for the organization I worked for.
That's incredible. So now I'm going to ask you kind of the painful side of that question. Have you had a specific failure when you think back on the projects you've worked that you learned a great deal from? And could you maybe share that with us?
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of failures in economic development. I'm convinced that if you hit one out of 50 projects, you're doing pretty good. So that allows for a lot of failures. There's been some projects that we chased here in the current organization that I'm in. One was an assembly plant for the Boeing Corporation. Boeing had moved their headquarters to Chicago about 5 years prior. They put out an RFP for their 787 Dreamliner. And, you know, we were encouraged to submit. We have a large industrial environment, a lot of capacity for big facilities. And we worked long and hard. It probably took us about 2.5 months to put that together. And we submitted it. And, you know, it turns out at the end of the day, they weren't really seriously looking at a Midwest location. And we did get good marks, but, you know, coming in second on economic development doesn't really count that much.
No, it doesn't. That is a good point, and I think everybody can understand and has been through that before.
It was a good learning experience. And you also, when those things happen, especially for projects that size, you truly understand what your strengths and what your weaknesses are. So it helps you for that next project.
Yeah, that's great perspective and exactly what we're looking for in terms of what can you learn from these projects that fall through, especially like you said, when way more fall through than are successful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, John, talk to us. What are some of the things that keep you awake at night when you're laying there trying to go to sleep and you're thinking about your work and your community and your organization? What's keeping you up?
Well, you know, I hate to say this, but quite frankly, Amanda, one of the biggest things that keep me awake at night is the state government here in Illinois is a big challenge for those of us in economic development with some budget problems and pension problems. But, you know, those will pass. Probably the biggest issue I believe most communities are faced with now and keep a lot of economic developers up at night is the infrastructure to support growing American businesses. I think we've not invested in critical infrastructure, you know, not just transportation, but our pipeline, our energy systems, even our educational systems in some cases. And I think for us to continue to compete globally, I know here in the Midwest, it's important for us to continue to invest and reinvest in infrastructure. The other challenge we have is the changing politics. I think there's a lack of faith in government at all levels today, and it doesn't create the environment that leads itself and lends itself to successful economic development often. So those are two things I think about a lot.
So we've talked about a project win and a project loss and some of the challenges that you face in your community. I'm curious, how do you define success for yourself as a leader and also for your organization in light of all of those factors?
Yeah. Well, success, of course, is always measured by your wins. And since this is a winning sort of profession, I think the more success I can have as an individual economic developer is a win for the communities or the organizations that I work for. I think real success for both the organization and the individual running the organization is your profile in the community. You know, is the organization respected? Are you seen as a credible source of information? And most importantly, do you raise the bar, if you will, for the entire community on the work you do? I call it the culture of economic development. If we can breed that culture as economic developers in our communities, we can garner a lot of support for us to be successful, whether it be from the public or private sector. So I really think creating this culture is a good measurement. When people say economic development in your community, do they automatically see it as a good thing? And that's what I call the culture of economic development.
Yeah, I like that concept of the culture of economic development as a success measure. That's a good
thing. It really is. It really is, because when you think about it, if that culture exists, you have less arguments, you have less stress, you have a lot of support, maybe for things that automatically or sometimes aren't automatically supported. But if you create the belief system that economic development is good for all of us, then that really becomes part of the culture.
Absolutely. That's great insight, even above just the measure, like you mentioned at first, that everyone thinks of, and that's winning projects. But I love that concept of the culture. John, this is going to be the last question that we ask you today.
Okay.
So as you look ahead to the future, what do you think is going to be the most important thing for communities and fellow economic developers to focus on the most?
Well, I think, you know, I've already talked about the infrastructure piece, and I think that's key. You know, our particular economy here in Will County has a lot of transportation. You know, we are the largest inland port in North America. So in order to keep that brand and keep that business going, we really need to invest in infrastructure. But I think the single most important thing for all of us in the business right now is workforce. I think workforce is the biggest challenge, not just the availability of bodies, but people that will show up for work, that they'll commit to a company for a long period of time, and that we can provide education and training for the workers so that companies feel comfortable making a long-term commitment, knowing that they're going to have a reliable workforce available to them for many years to come. Hands down, I think that's the biggest issue for economic development today.
Yes, and I think most of your peers would agree. We keep hearing that same issue time and time again.
No, I agree. You know, 10 years ago, workforce was probably 6, 7, or 8 on the list. I think it's consistently 1 or 2 today, and that's just the reality. But
yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for time today, and congratulations again on being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.